Good morning. Greetings in Jesus' name this morning. It's good to be gathered together and hear about the bread of life. All the other things we heard about this morning. I'd like to continue on relationships this morning. And I had put a little star in my notes where I quit the last time, and I have quite a ways to go yet on courtship. See how far we get here yet this morning. I'd like to start out with a couple of scriptures. Maybe you all could turn to Malachi 2, verse 14. I'm going to read Proverbs, verse 30, or chapter 30, verse 18 and 19. There be three things that are too wonderful for me, yea, four which I know not: the way of an eagle in the air, and the way of a serpent upon the rock, the way of a ship in the midst of the sea, and the way of a man with a maid. I find that scripture intriguing to think about. Malachi 2, verse 14. Yet ye say, wherefore, because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously, yet she is thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. And did he not make one? Yet had he the residue of the Spirit, and wherefore one, that he might seek a godly seed. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. And I think that verse is important to think about as we think about courtship. This is why. The title that I chose, I think I said it last time, is Preparation for Godly Marriage. And the reason is that God wants a godly seed. That's the reason that we think about it, that we place importance on it. I know in some ways it's a little bit of a lighter subject than talking about the bread of life. But I think it's good for us to think about from time to time. All right, a few things. Just to maybe kind of finish up where I was talking last time about leading up to courtship and getting there. And I think it's pretty likely that, and I speak from experience, I think it's pretty likely that young people are tempted to do a lot of thinking about a specific person before they're 18. And I would discourage it. I'm not going to say that thou shalt not, because the Bible doesn't say that thou shalt not. But I would discourage it. I think that it tends to stunt spiritual growth, when there's a focus on that. I would just highly discourage a lot of that. Talk to your parents. I think that's important to do. And another thing that before getting into this courtship, spend a lot of time in prayer. Spend a lot of time in prayer. That is so important. You have no idea how much you want and need God's will through this experience. It's just us older ones looking on, maybe we have a little bit different perspective than you young people, but you have no idea how important it is that you pray, seek God's will. All right, I have a lot of notes here, and I'm going to try to follow them and try to be efficient that way. We'll see how it works. courtship begins with interest and two people, and there's two wills involved. And that is interesting how interest begins. There are as many stories as there are couples. I'm amazed at that. And I think it points to the fact that God is the one that leads in the whole thing. There are as many stories as there are couples. There's not a prescription method that you must follow for this. Some interest grows mutually, and then it just flows into formal courtship, and some it's strangers, and they meet somehow, and there's interest, and some develop interest working together in mission or at Bible school or it's you name it, and anything in between. I don't think that's so important, although it is interesting. I don't think that's so important. But it begins with interest, and then as it goes into courtship. Now, what courtship is for is discerning God's will. That's what the point of it is. There's interest, and then it needs to develop into that. Now, it's important that you talk. Maybe that's a silly point to make, but not just surface talk. You have to talk heart to heart if you're going to have a relationship. And I know it takes some couples a little while to get there, but you have to talk if you're going to, if it's going to move on. You have to talk, like I said, heart to heart. I'm not sure how to put that all into words without spending a lot of time with it. But there's some ingredients in it. One is trust. Another is honesty and openness. See, it all kind of goes in a little bit of a circle. When there's trust, then I'm willing to be honest. I'm willing to open my heart. That needs to happen in a courtship relationship. And then when I'm real with the person, then it builds trust and it continues to go in a circle. Maybe something like that. There might be a few more ingredients in there. But trust develops and the hearts open further and relationship deepens. That's the whole purpose. And again, some couples it takes time, more time than other couples. Some couples it seems like you just right from the first date they can talk. And nothing wrong with that, but others it takes a little bit more work. But the point I'd like to make is you gotta get to that point before you can go on. You gotta get to that point before you can go on. If you can't get to that point, maybe it needs to end. And that, I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with quitting, okay? Not sure what I should say about that. I almost think we need a little bit more of that. But anyway, it seems like sometimes when you get, we have this whole concept that there's something wrong with quitting. And so once you get onto the bandwagon of courtship, you just dare not stop. You just got to keep going. I don't like that feeling because that's not what courtship is about. That's not what it's for. So anyway, think about that. All right. So we can talk. We can just talk about anything. And some couples think, well, we can just talk. So let's get married. it goes good, so let's get married. Well, I think there's a few more things you got to think about than that. You need to talk, but you need to talk about some specific things, and I do not claim to have near everything down here. I think there's a whole lot more than this, but there's a few main things, and again, the scripture doesn't just give us a whole lot of things, but I have four things, I think it is. See when we get there, I guess, that we need to learn to know each other's character. And the first thing I put down is spiritual things. I think it's important. I think this is very important that the spiritual is sought first. What is the level of spiritual depth that's there? And that needs to be sought. I know you need to talk first. And you need to build trust. And you need that needs to come first. But somehow, one of the first things on the agenda is finding out the spiritual caliber of somebody else. I think that's pretty important. And I don't know how you do that, but you got to figure it out somehow. What does he talk about? What does she talk about? Do they talk about the sermon? What about devotional time together? What do you talk about? Is it just superficial, or is there nothing there? Or is, you know, those are some things you can think about. Or is there depth? Is there current? Is there something happening in the heart with a relationship with God? I think those are important things to think about. What about solutions to relationship difficulties? Spiritual solutions, scriptural solutions to relationship difficulties. How do they handle that? Or is he a spiritual leader? I think those are important things to think about. That was really quick, but I'm going to go on. The second thing that I put down is past. And we all have a past. And people sometimes ask me about this. When do we talk about it? Well, I don't know, but when you can talk. When you can talk, you need to talk about your past. And they ask me why, and I say, because marriage is an exclusive relationship. And if there's immorality involved in the past, that needs to be talked about. If there's previous relationships, that needs to be talked about. Maybe some time is needed and feelings need to be worked through or something like that. It needs to be talked about. Of course, discretion is in order. You don't do it on your first date. maybe you had a previous relationship and it wasn't hands off. And I want to talk about purity here in a little bit, but you need to talk about some of those things. Those things are important to talk about. The bottom line of any relationship is trust. You think about that. The bottom line of any relationship is trust. And if there's a closed door in the past, that's going to signal problems. Because there's something that I'm not willing to talk about, I'm not willing to trust you with, and should maybe raise some red flags about a person, about their character. And you can tell a lot about a person when we talk about their past and how they respond to it and so on. All right, expectations of home is the third thing I put down. We all come from different homes, and there's not a cut and dried way of doing it, of disciplining, of raising children, of keeping a house, of all kinds of things. But I think it's a good idea to talk about some expectations of children, how children should behave, and some of this happens along the way. You don't you don't just put down an agenda on a date and, okay, we're going to talk about child training this time. Well, maybe you should, maybe you do some of that, but a lot of it happens along the way. And it's just some things to think about. One thing I'm going to bring in here, homes are not all the same. There is a lot of homes out there that are less than ideal. And that does not necessarily disqualify a person, but I want to talk about that just a little bit. If there is a dysfunctional home of some sort, and all of us to some extent or another come from a dysfunctional home, because we live on this earth and we don't have perfect parents. But if the situation is relatively bad, I think there's some specific things that we ought to talk about in child training. Let's say, for example, that he comes from an abusive situation. Father was just terribly angry all the time and abused his children. You need to talk about that. You need to talk about that. Because unless he purposes to be different and make different goals, there it's very likely that he is going to respond to children the same way he was treated. That one there takes a lot of prayer. You think about some of those things. All right. I got to keep moving here. Another thing under this section of expectations of home, view of children, and again, some of these things you soak up along the way, you figure out along the way, and that's why there time is an important factor in courtship. I know we didn't talk about this one, but handicapped children. I think that's, what if God would give you handicapped children or children that are, what's the response? And again, maybe more is caught along the way than you can actually express to each other. But think about some of those things. What about if you don't have biological children? What about that? Maybe, I guess for us, we knew that there was a pretty high possibility of that. And so we talked about some of that. How does he treat his mother and sisters? How does she respect her dad? I think some of those things are important. Those are real indicators of how home life will be. All right, the fourth thing I have down is church, view of church. And maybe under that, authority in life, how does he or she respect authority or not respect them? What about church standards? What place, how important is church? Are they at church? Do they go to a Wednesday evening prayer meeting? So on, just things like that. And again, time is important and convictions will come out. What kind of caliber, what kind of spiritual level is there? I think it'll come out. But where one goes spiritually, and this is true for both sides, but possibly where he goes spiritually, he's the spiritual leader. And where he goes, in a lot of ways, a girl places her spiritual life in his hands. That's not completely true. You understand that, but has a tremendous impact. You know that. So think about some of those things. And God's will is ascertained by some of these things. All right, maintaining purity. That's all I have is four things that you need to talk about. And I know that's, you better talk about a lot more than that, but that's just kind of general. All right, maintaining purity. The closer you draw together emotionally and spiritually, it will draw you together physically. And I think that's a good thing in marriage, and we recognize that. And I think it's good for us to recognize it in courtship as well. That, you know, that's just what's going to happen. But it takes a commitment from both. And I'm going to read some scriptures here in just a bit. But it takes a commitment from both to maintain purity. And I think this is very important. You need to talk about it. You need to talk about maintaining purity. You need to talk about what to do and what not to do. I think another thing that's important, you can send messages by how you act. Maybe that's not a good way to say it, but if your lady friend would snuggle up beside him when he looks at you, you know, that sends a message. Sends a message. And I think it's important. And the other, it's true vice versa too. All right, Romans 13, verse 13. Almost got there in our devotions. Just pulling one verse out of this context of practical things that we need to do, but we need to, how we need to live, Christian conduct, as Clayton put it. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. That word chambering simply means shacking up together, is how we would say it. Don't do that. Purity. Now, I know some, you hear this from time to time, and he says, well, or she says, he loves me so much that he just has to express it. Well, that's not what he's expressing. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3 says, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, and that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. Now, in our courtship, or in our standards, in our church standards, we have just a little bitty section in there about dating. And I don't have it in front of me, but it says something about need to wait until 18. And let's see. Can't remember the next phrase. And we believe in a hands-off policy. My, I thought I could remember it better than that. But the point I wanted is hands-off. And I think we understand why. But somebody told me this, and I think it's true, that there is 5 steps between holding hands and fornication, 5 physical contact steps, and I don't remember what they are, but I should have maybe tried to find that. But what I would say about that is this, that once starting down that path, it is almost impossible to stop, humanly impossible to stop. Purity is a must. And this is the reason I say this in a courtship context. Well, for obvious reasons, but this is part of ascertaining God's will. That's what courtship is all about, is ascertaining God's will. And you know that just from the 2 scriptures we read there, we know that impurity, fornication, is not God's will. So, think about that. All right, I want to talk about porn just a little bit. In some ways, I wish I didn't have to talk about this, but I think it's important. To you, sisters, you will never compete with porn. If you find out, you go through courtship, you go through a ways, and all of a sudden you find out that there's something wrong, you'll never compete with pornography. I don't care how beautiful you are, I don't care how charming you are, you'll never compete with it. It constitutes adultery. It's more than one woman, and it will not work. All right, purity. There is nothing quite so beautiful. I don't know if I should say it that strong, but it is very beautiful to see a godly young couple come to the marriage altar, and you know, we all know that they're pure. There's nothing quite like that. The opposite is true as well. I suppose there's always something beautiful about a couple coming together, but when there's lust and there's self-centeredness and all of that, it just, I don't know. I don't need to say a lot about it. It's just not what God designed. Another thing I would say, I guess I missed it here, but another thing I would say before I leave this purity thing, if you come to the place where there's impurity, maybe particularly about the pornography thing, I don't think a lot of prayer is needed to know what to do. Do you know what I mean? You know, we could just pray and pray and pray. we can get into this thing where we just pray and pray and pray that God would somehow change His heart and that we could go on together because we love each other. I don't know. You're in for... I say not a lot of prayer is needed because God's will is clear, okay? God's will is clear in that situation. I know that a lot of prayer is needed through courtship, but it's when you're dealing with something that's like that. Okay, enough said. Some things to contemplate. I put down, this is a little bit lighter than the purity subject. What if he has some annoying habits? Like, can you put up with him missing the laundry basket? Now, maybe you won't know about that. Or wearing his boots in the house. Or she talks nonstop. And just, maybe it sounds musical and tinkly now, but what about when you're sitting there trying to think sometime? Maybe she's fine with living in a filthy house and you aren't. And these things don't necessarily make or break it, okay? But I want you to think about it. There's enough of those things when you get there. But here's the bottom line. I'm going to read what it says in the Amplified about from Ephesians 5. Verse 33, and it talks about the husband and the wife in this verse. However, let each man of you, without exception, love his wife as being in the very sense his very own self. And let the wife see that she respects and reverences her husband. Okay, this gets pretty long-winded here. You'll just have to bear with this. That she notices him, regards him, honors him, venerates and esteems him, and that she defers to him, praises him, and loves him, and admires him exceedingly. Now here's where I'm going with this. Okay, so he has, maybe I shouldn't pick on the ladies here. So she has an annoying habit. And this verse makes it very clear that you are going to need to love her as your very own self. That's what it's talking about. And converse is true as well. You're going to need to respect him, even if you've got to turn his socks right side out. And you may not. Okay, respect includes you may not talk to your sisters about how gross it is. Okay? That's part of the deal. I'm just saying this, that you need to think about some of these things. All right, that's enough on that. I want to talk a little bit about romantic love. And I love seeing this phase in courtship. And maybe some people say, well, you shouldn't have romantic love. That's not the real thing. It's not there yet. But I think something's very wrong if you don't get to the point where you have romantic love. That's what I think. But I do think that romantic love has a good side and a bad side. And that's why I wanted to talk about it a little bit. So romantic love is when you look, I tried to explain this to Rodney. I'm not sure if I should embarrass him, but I said you look through rose-tinted glasses. Well, that went right over his head. But you view things in unreal light. It really is an unreal light. You view things in just, yeah, the other person just cannot do anything wrong. It's just everything's glowing and it's wonderful. Okay. Now here's the bad side. Some people want to jump right into courtship and right into this way too quick. And it causes serious blindness. It does. This romantic love causes serious blindness. And if it happens too prematurely in a relationship, there can be red lights flashing, there can be buzzers going off, there can be all kinds of things happen, and you simply do not see it. So that's why I want to talk about it a little bit. But it should happen. There is the time for doing some analyzing spiritually and testing, but then it comes to this point, and it's for a purpose. It's for a reason. It is to go to the point where we can live with another human being that is not perfect and still get along well together. That's part of the reason for it. I'm not sure all the reasons that God put it there, but I do believe God made it, and I believe God put it there. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm not saying it's bad, but it is a bit unrealistic. It is a bit untested. Let me explain it like this. There's a different look in her eye when she looks up at him on the wedding day than there is 5 years later when there's, you know, a baby in her arms and the two toddlers blubbering on her skirt, you know. There's a different look. And he's standing there talking to somebody after church. You know what I mean? It's a little bit different, isn't it? But it's good. It's good in its place, and I think it's God-given. But it should lead us to the real love, the deep love. That's a deep respect. All right. Thank you for putting up with that. want to talk just a little bit about engagement here. I don't know what part this falls under. Courtship should be a wonderful time. I and my wife have good memories of our courtship days, and it should be that way. I think it should be that way. Better be that way. Maybe I'll say it that way. But don't leave your old friends in the dust. Now, I think it's important that relationships are different now. You know, when you get to this point of engagement and moving on toward marriage, it's different. Relationships are different, and it takes a little bit of wisdom. You can't go hunting for a week with your old friends anymore. Those days are kind of gone. I think they should be. That's my thoughts anyway. But don't leave your old friends in the dust. Engagement is not just, this is some random things here, but engagement is not just a time to plan for the wedding. I don't think so. I think that's part of it, but I think it's a final time of testing devotion, singular devotion and love for each other. That's what I think it is. And if you look in the, and maybe Jews still do this, but in the New Testament, that's what it was talking about when it talks about Mary there being espoused to Joseph. It's a final time of testing where the singular devotion for the other. In our marriage vows, I'm not sure I have this down exactly right, but I think this is how it is. Do you confess and declare that you are free from all other engagement and marriage relations whatsoever? That's maybe the second one, if I'm remembering correctly. And I think that's what this period or what this time is for thinking about that. There should be a heightened carefulness in relating to potential options. You see, when we're single, I'm not single, but when you're single, there's potential options, right? You can have that door open. But in engagement, it happens over time. It happens more than just the day you're engaged. But there is a conscious shutting that door. There should be a conscious shutting that door. You are now ruling out the other options. And both of you are doing that. And again, it's been happening over time, but I think it's good to shut that door with thought, with purpose, and with decisiveness. I think that's important. And the reason I think that's important is it helps guard our hearts later on in marriage, because you will be tested. There will be other people that will advertently or inadvertently try to test you. And it's Satan's desire to overthrow a home too. And if you purposely, with thought and purpose, shut this door that you're ruling out all other options, I think it helps tremendously. In fact, I would go so far as to say that is the difference. Maybe there's other factors in there too, but I think that is the difference between having an average marriage and an excellent one. I think that is very important. Sometime that door needs to be shut before marriage, All right. Just reading Malachi 2, verse 14 again. Yet ye say, wherefore, because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously. Yet she is thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. And did he not make one? Yet had he the residue of the Spirit. And wherefore one, that he might seek a godly seed. I think that's the purpose of a godly, a God-centered courtship, is to discover God's will. And again, prayer is very important. I know I said back there that there's one spot prayer isn't needed so much, but you know what I mean by that. I know that a lot of prayer is needed over a situation like that. But this whole venture is to discover God's will. It's not just to have fun, although it is enjoyable. A godly courtship is very enjoyable. But that's not the purpose. The purpose is to discover God's will regarding marriage. Let's do a lot of praying. Parents, let's do a lot of praying when our children get to that stage, even before that stage. Shall we kneel in prayer?